Good Love evening, everybody.
Radio.
Welcome to Unchurched Live, a spiritual conversation designed for the seeker and the skeptic. And I am your co-host tonight, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. And I'm along with my co-host and dear friend and colleague in ministry is Finesse. Give us a word, Finesse. Tell me about it.
Dr. Gardner, listen, my heart beats to do Unchurched Live. I appreciate your partnership. I'm going to back up off the camera now. All right, I'm good now. It's good to be here. It's good to talk about this topic tonight. We need to get our language straight, Doctor. And
absolutely,
we need to know how to navigate how the gospel relates to difficult and, I would say, more accurately, controversial situations. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the show tonight.
It is. I mean, you know, because lots of...
So let me see what happened. Did we just disconnect, sir?
I got it. Go
ahead. Okay. All right, good. Because all of a sudden, it just went mute. So are we good? Someone who just logged on, just let us know that you can hear us. It takes a few minutes for...
Okay, there we go.
Okay, here we go. Let me just make sure we're good.
All right, good. Because all of a sudden, it just went mute. So,
all right, we're good. I just went on Facebook. All right, let me just share this. Everyone, just take every night, and it takes just a little minute to Kathy Gardner. God bless. Congratulations on your doctorate. Let me share this on your timeline. And I'm sharing it now. And, Doctor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, we're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. I'm going to share one more person. I'm praying for Tamara Summers. I saw her post on Facebook. She was a little under the weather. Did you get it?
Yeah. Yes, I did get it.
We're good. We're good. So, hey, we're good. So, navigating the gospel in controversial places.
Controversial places. That's important because, you know, there's a lot of, well, like last week, for example, and I'm kind of cued back into what we were talking about last week, LGBTQ and Christian. And there are a lot of, that's a controversial place because of you have believers who are for and are against, you know, that particular lifestyle. So how do you navigate the gospel through something like that? That's just one example. We've got to learn how to reach out to people that don't think like us, believe like us, act like us, talk like us, worship like us. And when we're able to do that and represent Jesus and be the very best that we possibly can, I think we are doing what Jesus would want us to do in times like these.
Dr. Rodney Pearson, we appreciate you joining. And Dr. Gardner, it looks like I've got to flip, and I'm going to do this from my phone, flip back and forth between the Be Live studio and Facebook because sometimes Be Live doesn't let us know who's joining. Dr. Pearson, we thank you for joining. We appreciate you you being part. You said something, Dr., very powerful. We have to learn how to interact with people and within the Christian community.
Within the Christian community.
You see what Absolutely. I'm saying? Because a lot of these controversial places exist within the Christian community. See, they're let's run the gamut. Let's delineate part of the list. Whether we're for or against, there are Christ followers, self-described, who are LGBTQ, who are conservative, who are liberal, who are Democrat, who are Republican, who are racist.
Wow.
And notice I'm not saying they're not. I'm not saying that. Again, for the purposes of this topic, all of that, who are militarists, who are pacifists, all of that, who are rich, poor, northern, southern, et cetera, that's a heck of a mix.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, you know, if you want to go as far as saying that, man, I mean, there are certain racist groups out there that consider themselves Christian.
Coretta Webley, thank you. One of my friends on Facebook, Darryl Walker, thank you. We're talking about navigating the gospel in controversial places. Right.
You know, I think here's the biggest challenge, Vanessa, is that the only people that church people can talk to are people that go to church. They can't even hold a conversation with someone in the world without Jesus being every other word or a scripture. I know people that, to that extent, that Jesus is every other word and there's a scripture. That's how are we going to connect with people who maybe have never heard the gospel and don't appreciate the scriptures, but yet they still need a savior.
Doctor,
how can we communicate?
Doctor, you talked about me stirring the pot last week. You got a big stick this week. Say that, doctor, say that again, because that's an important point. Say that again.
Well, I mean,
about people in church only are able to talk to people in church. I'm not saying it like you said it, so please say it again, because I think our listening audience and our viewing audience need to hear that again.
Well, what's happening is that people who go to church can only talk to people that go to church. They cannot communicate with people outside of their worship center, as it were, with a conversation or a dialogue without quoting Jesus or without quoting scripture, every other verse or every other word, or using and saying Jesus 1,000 times. We just don't know how do you hold a conversation, or why is it so difficult to hold a conversation with people who really need a savior, but I'm unable to communicate that because I'm stuck in religious mode. Religious mode is on autopilot.
Wow.
And I can't get off.
Alan Hodson, we appreciate you joining. Let me just say, if at any point in this broadcast, if you enjoy what you are listening to or hearing, do me a favor, share it on your timeline or like us on Facebook. We're continuing to build the audience. And doctor, I'm going to build that in maybe two times during each broadcast. If you enjoy what you're listening to or watching and you think others would similarly enjoy it or be informed or entertained or all the above by it, simply like it and then share it on your timeline. I think, doctor, tell me what you think, that we really feel like every conversation has to be an evangelistic one. That's what I think.
What, you know,
do I need to break that down, so to speak?
No, yeah. Why don't you break that down and then I'll come in.
I think that every conversation for many Christ followers or Christians or churchgoers, from their mindset, needs to be a conversation in which they are proselytizing. Like every conversation, hey, how's the weather? Well, praise God, you know that Jesus loves you and he died for you. You know, how about those Dallas Cowboys? Well, you know, if every person on the Dallas Cowboys knew Jesus, you know, they win more games. you understand? Praise Jesus. And I think that we've got to relax a little bit. I have found that.
Relax
a little bit. I think that here's the scripture, and I'm going to try to quote it outside of the old English, which I did all of my Bible memorizing in. If we're going to have friends, we've got to be friendly.
Come on. That's the book of Proverbs.
You see what I'm saying? It's Old Testament Proverbs. If we're going to have friends, then we need to be friendly. And I think more than our words, the marketplace needs to.
Right on, Dr. Pearson.
You understand? It is true, Dr. Pearson, it is. You know, listen, we all keep it real, sir. I think that we've said enough. Now our walk slash actions have got to match our talk. I think we're big on talk and little on walk. And I think people need to see the walk more than they need to see the talk.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
You said people need to relax. One of the problems is that somehow, some way, that they're being communicated a theology that it's not okay to relax. You've got to be ramped up.
Saheem Muhammad, respect, sir. Saheem Muhammad, martial arts instructor, respect, sir. Thanks for watching.
So people are not being taught to relax, you know, and that if they don't have this proselytizing conversation, they're not being salt and light.
Well, think about it. Exactly. Win the loss at any cost. We've heard the slogan. Am I right? We've heard the slogans all of our lives. And so let me pause. Doctor, and let you take the reins. Tamara Summers, God bless. I hope you're feeling better. We've been praying for you. Doctor, go ahead.
Well, we need to learn how to relax, that it's really okay to sit down and relax and have a cup of coffee or some tea with a non-believer and not feel like that their lifestyle or their lack of fellowship with Christ or Let me get real religious, or their sin will not rub off on you.
Lisa Boyer. Lisa Boyer, thanks for logging on.
If we're going to be Christ followers, we cannot have a separatist mentality.
The greatest, doctor, and for those who are watching and listening, I just want to suggest this. I became a Christ follower at 17. I'm 53, so that's 36 years, give or take. At this stage of my life, the greatest witness or the greatest tool that I have is influence by me attempting to live a Christ-centered life. Influence.
Yeah, you know.
You see what I'm saying? As opposed to what I say.
It's influence.
Influence.
Okay, so you talk about influencing by your life, by the kind of life you live?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That ties into what I was going to say earlier, that there was a St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, one of them. Some old saint said this. Out of the Catholic realm, and it says that evangelize at all times and sometimes use words.
Evangelize all the time and sometimes use words. Right, because I think it was Billy Graham. For those of us who may not know who Billy Graham is, he was probably the most well-known evangelist of the 20th century, and an evangelist is one who proclaims the good news in the hopes that people would be converted. He said, America is the most evangelized nation in the world. The most. From 1619 to 2017, we have been saturated with words about Christ. Now, have those words made a difference? That's another conversation. You see, and I think in this era, people need to see in us Christ lived out so that they will be interested in the words.
Mm.
Does that viewing and listening audience, does that make sense? Did somebody hit me up, Dr. Pearson, Kathy Gardner, Lisa Boyer, Saheem Muhammad? Does that make sense? That they need to see it now.
So you're talking about the old adage that we say, I'm from Missouri, show me.
Show me.
So people need to see us.
They need to see us living out our humanity and wrestling to be Christ followers. I remember Becky Pippert, Out of the Salt Shaker, Into the World. This is 30-some years ago when I was in college. She said, you know, sometimes our flaws have a greater impact than our quote-unquote perfection. We're human. I'm human, profoundly human. I'm simply struggling to live for Christ. Dr. Pearson, we in the church are taught an exclusive gospel rather than an inclusive gospel. Our Christian life is all about getting people to be one of us, be like us, and then God will like us and we will like you. Join our club like you are, and we will get you fixed as soon as possible.
That's true.
You know, like they say in church, it's tight, but it's right. It's true. So, and you know what, Dr. Pearson? Who are we to fix anybody?
Right.
See, that's the arrogance. That's the spiritual arrogance. We will fix you, but we're not fixed. Only God can fix, quote unquote.
He said only go proclaim. He didn't say go proclaim and then fix.
Right. Make go into all the world. Doctor, this is good. And let me just say, everybody, the Lord put on Dr. Gardner's heart this topic, and I resonate with it. Go into, this is Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim the good news. And then in Matthew's gospel, make disciples or learners of me. Not, Jesus never said, as far as I've read, go fix people.
No, it ain't in there.
Bring. You know what? We're going to start preaching before this show is over. Bring them to the one who can fix. Okay, I'm done.
All right, I'll throw a handkerchief from here, okay?
I'm done. You understand?
Dr. Pearson, it's no sense. Don't apologize for being blunt, man.
No, brother, you're not blunt. This is real talk.
This is a straight-up real conversation.
This is a no-holds-barred.
No-holds-barred.
That's right. Come on, man. Michael Kevin Manning.
We're trying to make a point. For example, you know, here's one of the things that we talked about this earlier, that you find a lot of churchgoers, you find a lot of Christ followers in different denominations, that they cannot have a conversation with someone outside of their club or their expression.
There it is.
Without feeling uncomfortable.
Right.
They're not comfortable talking to people that are, quote unquote, not saved, not Christ followers. So that's one problem. Number two is that how do you detox Christ followers from using Christian ease?
How do you detox? Wow. But so that implies that they've been poisoned. That there's a toxicity level in the body. Doctor, I hope I'm answering the question by saying this. It's if I go to Spain and I'm going to reside there for any length of time, I need to ultimately learn Spanish.
Okay, got it. All right, I'm following you.
If when people embrace Christ, develop a relationship with God through Christ, and they come into the church, they're essentially learning a new language. He said, okay, Dr. Stephen Guy, you know this is my subject, people too Christian to be like Christ. That is the truth. So let's put it in reverse. If we are going to engage the marketplace, and what is the marketplace? That pluralistic aggregation of all types of people, we have to learn a new language. Yes, we do.
Okay.
We have to delete the Christian ease from our vocabulary and our discourse until such a time as someone's interest is piqued about Christ, but that doesn't happen overnight because people are skeptical, This is why the title of this broadcast is intentional, Unchurched Live. This is not church. This is a more church type topic by design, but for the most part, it's unchurch. It's a no holds barred, Dr. Pearson. So we welcome how you say what you say. It's a no holds barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. See, I want the skeptic to tune in because our language, Dr. Gardner and I know how to make our language intelligible and to the marketplace. I want the seeker, the one who's looking for truth. See, the skeptic doesn't understand what holiness, without which no man shall see God. Right? I know what that means. Most of us who go to church, particularly in the Pentecostal realm, know what that means. But the skeptic's like, huh? Holiness? Without which? We're talking about holes or holes?
they hear that.
They hear
that.
Exactly.
Like, wait a minute. I'm clueless as to what you're talking about.
We have to become bilingual. Wait a minute. One second. Michael Kevin Manning. Vanessa Morgan Johnson, Damaris Torres Rivera, it's been a long time. I'm doing well. It's good to have you logging on. Yeah, they don't know. See, and yes, we should become bilingual. What is it? And we have to apply thought. And that's why last week I was pushing back against some of the comments because I understand what the people were saying. Doctor, you understand, but someone who's a seeker and a skeptic, they're not gonna understand it. So that's why I said, well, what do you mean by we must live holy? Yes, we must. What does that mean? And how do we speak a different language to translate that thought into the marketplace? That's the challenge. And Doctor, I believe that's why you conceived of this subject tonight, navigating the gospel in controversial places.
You know, having said that, let me make a statement. If the gospel is so simple, why does the world have a hard time grasping what you're saying? I mean, this just kind of supports, if the gospel is so simple, how do we simplify the gospel so that the world around us can grasp what we're saying?
For me, I'm putting this out in the chat. So please, Dr. Pearson, others, Tamara Summers, how do we make the gospel
simple?
Jesus used things from the common day of his time to teach people, help them understand. Sometimes our conversation of Christian ease is a level of superiority. We should be able to relate to where people are. True. I agree 100%. I think, Doctor, the gospel, the euangelion, which in the Greek is good news, is very simple. And I'm just going back from Facebook back to the Be Live studio. God loved humanity. God gave Jesus to us as an example. God required that Jesus die as an act of love for us. If we believe that, we will have a relationship with God through Christ. That's the gospel. And I thought about it, like, how do I make this simple? See what I'm saying? Stripped down, you know, the humanistic language that expresses spiritual truths. We all know
humanistic language.
That
expresses spiritual truth.
Yeah, I mean, and we all understand relationship. It's connection. It's intimacy. It's spending time together. So God gave us Christ as an example of how we should live, right? So WWJD, what would Jesus do? And because of humankind's situation, God required, and that's a whole deep subject, that Jesus died in our place. And if we believe that, that belief creates that relationship with the Creator.
Okay. All right. So I don't see any other feedback. on how we can make the gospel simple. And so, I know that some of our listening audience would probably like to know that. Some of the seekers and skeptics would like to know, you know, how this Jesus you're talking about, you know, how do I connect with him? How do we, you know, make the gospel simple? I see that we must make the, what's that about unconditional love? We must make the gospel an unconditional love message. I agree with that. So how do we simplify it? What does our language have to be like?
That's a good question.
Does that mean that do we have to be too worldly that people cannot tell? Do we have to use a lot of polysyllables like everybody else around us so we can fit in? Or is there a way that we can stand out and yet at the same time be relevant?
I think Tamara said it earlier. Jesus used things from the common day of his time to reach people, help them understand, and help them understand common things. I mean, and I think the gospel message has got to be adapted to the particular audience. If I'm going to speak to you in order to get their attention, I'll talk about future. I'll talk about Cardi B, whose song Bojack Yellow is like climbing up the charts, and use it as an analogy to illustrate a spiritual truth. If I'm talking to the corporate executive, I may talk about leadership. I may talk about hierarchy, those kinds of things. If I'm talking to women, I may use female, if you will, analogies. I think, and just strip it down, keep it simple. You see, so we're not going to talk about the expiation of sin by the atoning Christ. No. Now, if I'm talking to a group of theologians, yes, but if I'm talking to lay people, however intelligent, whatever their profession may be, I think, Doctor, that's where we get messed up, because it's like we're speaking English to Spanish-speaking people. They're looking like, gay? You know what I'm saying? German, you're speaking German to Japanese.
Okay. So, and I'm hammering through some things here because I'm really listening to all the comments and listening to what you're saying. So is our message or version of the Christ relevant in the culture that we're called to serve? Is our version or message of Christ relevant?
You are in my head, sir. Dr. Pearson, most Christians are simply trying to impress other Christians. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Doctor, you're pulling out of me the ultimate passion that I have regarding Unchurched Live. And this is for people to see the relevance of the scriptures and to live them. After 36 years, I see the power, and I use the word relevance and power of the scriptures. So to answer your question, the gospel is still relevant. It's still relevant. You know, turn the other cheek. And I thought about that for years because, as you know, I studied martial arts, and that was rough for me. And there are a lot of Muslim brothers, and hope Brother Sahim is still watching, who find, for whom Christianity is a barrier to them because they take turn the other cheek literally. Like if somebody literally slaps you, offer the other cheek for them to slap. So let me keep it gutter, gangster, right? Somebody punches you, let them punch you again. Now what brother, and I'm a black man, what African American man do we know who can relate to that? I can't relate to that. On the other hand, if you study that text, what Jesus is saying, and this is powerful, rise above insult.
Rise above insult.
In, because a backhanded slap, and I, Dr. Obrey Hendricks, I don't know if you're watching or if you ever will, but thank you for that interpretation. The backhanded slap was a sign of insult. So as male, man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, etc., rise above insult? Yes. Because how often are we insulted in corporate America?
Yeah,
see what I'm saying? That I can relate to.
Yeah. So it's in other words, what I hear you saying is that can I just quote or paraphrase a statement that Jesus made in the gospel?
Yes, sir. Let me just acknowledge Jennifer Rodriguez White. Congratulations on your recent nuptials. God bless you. Malik Abdul Zaire, we appreciate your ongoing support. Dr. Gardner.
Okay. And this is something that I heard Jesus made this statement about. It slipped my mind, but it'll come back.
While you're thinking, again, 36 years in, I see the power of the scriptures from Jesus saying, and I believe, turn the other cheek, rise above insult, to whom much is given, much is required. In other words, when God has given us a lot, we're to pay it forward. See how I tried to use a natural, common, human statement, pay it forward, a couple years ago. Everybody, pay it forward, pay it forward, pay it forward. So what Jesus is saying is, if God has given you a lot, pay it forward. Helps. If God has helped you, help somebody. That's powerful.
You know, in other words, Jesus was saying also not to be bent on trying to impress, but to impact.
Well said. See, I think if we focused more on impacting and not impressing, we would have greater results. Because let's keep it real, viewing audience, listening audience, Dr. Gardner, the marketplace isn't impressed with Christianity anymore. We got, you know what, we need to really own that. They're not. For any number of reasons, and we can delineate a little bit of that today, they're not impressed. So we've got to represent Christianity so that it becomes legitimate again. We've got to represent, what's his name? Is it Future, I think it is. Represent, right? I don't want to say the rest because it's talking about drug use. We got to represent. We've got to represent. We've got to rebrand Christianity. That does not mean we dilute it, that we compromise it or anything. But we got to represent, because Christianity is lost its rep. And I'm being a little redundant. It has. Doctor. Listening audience, viewing audience, I will say this. I have been interacting with Christ followers / Christians / churchgoers for 36 years. Some of the greatest disrespect that I have personally experienced has been with people from church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, now, does that diminish my love for God or love for Christ? Not at all. I gotta keep it. It tests it. I gotta keep it real. I want to turn the other cheek. Doc, and it's real. And you know what? How many people who are listening or watching? And as I said earlier, if you enjoy what you're listening to or watching, or listening to or watching, do me a favor, like and share on your timeline. There are people who don't want to go back to church because Christians are some of the grimiest people going. And see, we're grimy, but we expect a spiritual response. Hear what I said. We want to be grimy. And I like the word grimy. I know it's old, but grimy just has that connotation. You just, when you hear it, it's like, ugh. I'm just saying. Right? So we've got to represent Christianity. And doctor, to tie it back into the topic tonight, part of the way in which we do that is we got to change our language.
And one of the things, since we're back moving forward on this topic, is that listen to the statement, navigating the gospel. So when you think about navigating, what are we talking about?
Yes.
What image comes to your mind when you talk about navigating? What image comes to your mind?
My GPS.
Some people see the image of GPS. Some people see the image of being on a boat, you know, utilizing, you know, an oar or utilizing some sort of apparatus to, you know, to deal with the water and the wind.
Yes.
You know? So navigating, which means that you have to give some thought. Hello.
Yes, sir.
As to which direction that you're going to take, which move you're going to make, which statement you're going to make, and what expression you're going to present or represent. And so Jesus said this. This is one of the things. He said that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light.
That's deep.
And, you know, now Jesus said this, and, you know, we can take this and we can put it into a context of unbelievers versus believers, or, you know, people in the church or people in the world. But the statement is the children of darkness, which has a negative connotation, right?
Yes.
So whatever you want to extrapolate to darkness are wiser than the children of light. And so, in other words, keep that in mind. Let me think about something else that Jesus talked about. He gave a parable, which was very relevant, of this one individual whose landholder, or the person he worked for, had a debt.
Mm.
And so what he decided to do, he went and negotiated with the person that this guy, that is a landlord, owed, and got him, you know, to dumb it down. He got him to relieve of that debt. That's being smart. That's being shrewd. That's being relevant. He knew exactly what to do. So in other words, the people of God, those who say they represent Christ, should be people that can display what I would call wisdom.
See, we have to be familiar with the goings on of life in order to be able to speak to that life.
Well, you got to do more than just look at Christian television. You got to do more than
there
just
go
on the studio of Fox News. You got to be, I mean, don't get me started. I can go down the line.
You go down the line. It's all right.
You know, you got to be more than a student of the popular places where quote unquote evangelical talkers talk. You know, you got to be able to delve, you got to read the newspaper. Better yet, why don't you go down to the Chamber of Commerce and other places like that and town halls and see what people are talking about. You know, try to get a pulse of what's being said. That is the first step of being relevant. I must make myself relevant by being a student or a researcher of the need. Let me tell you something. Can I tell you a story quick and short?
No, take your time. I'm listening. Listen, let me just say this, Doctor, before you get started. I'm listening. Viewing and listening audience, I'm listening. I'm flipping back and forth between Be Live and Facebook only because when someone joins, I can't see it via the Be Live platform, but I can see it on Facebook. So, Aya, if you see me quiet, I'm working both sides. Doctor, I'm listening to you. Take your time with the story, sir. It's good stuff.
This is a different city. At that time, in Indianapolis, Indiana, some of my Hoosier colleagues may be, you know, tuning in. And I had purposed to start a school that would serve a particular population, the underserved, and so on and so forth.
Doctor, hold on. Doctor, let me interject because you're breaking up. I don't know if it's the connection, but yeah, you're breaking up. So just give me a little test. Give me a test 1-2.
Yes, 1-2.
Yeah, you're a little bit delayed from the video to the audio, and I think I am too. All right, give me. All right, let's push through it. Go ahead, Doctor.
Yeah, now See, now, Dr. Pearson, you're getting into my notes. Now, stay out of my notes because I'm going to talk about this all mission. Stay out of my notes, brother.
You're back. Doctor, you're back. Your audio's back. Go ahead.
All right. I was just teasing Dr. Pearson. Okay. So here are the things, you know, but before I started school, I had to do an assessment. And I don't care what it is that a person wants to do. If you want to build something, you got to do an assessment. You know, you got to do a risk analysis. You got to, you know, you got to sit down and count up the cost, as it were, before you intend to build. So one of the things that was heartening, as was the preface, as to why I thought as a pastor that I needed to start a school was that I saw church buildings that were sitting empty at least 5 or 6 days out of the week and only open for 4 hours. I'll give you an example. I did a survey, and I did a 1 square mile radius in the hood. Some of y'all can relate to what's called in the hood. 1 square mile radius. And within that 1 square mile radius, making a big square, there was 30 churches. 30 churches in a 1 square mile radius.
30 churches.
30 churches in a 1 square mile radius in Indianapolis, Indiana. And when I went through there, most of those churches on Monday, Tuesday were closed. They were open for 2 hours on Wednesday night because Bible study and prayer, and closed on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, unless they have fish fry on Saturday or a barbecue, and then 2 or 3 hours on Sunday. All of that real estate sat vacant and open. And I saw it as an opportunity to become relevant, that the church must move beyond this being something that people go and attend to something that people actually be and actually do something to impact society. So I started a school. You know, right there in the hood, acquired grants and the whole nine yards, and you had people who were able to come and basically. And Tamara was there, you know, at that time she was a member of my church there in Indianapolis, and she knows people came to that church, came to that school, because they saw it as a place that attracted where they itched. They needed education, and we had something to provide. These are the kind of ways of proving that you're relevant in controversial places, in places that people don't want to go. When we talk about controversial places, you got to think about, you know, there was this example of a person that Jesus talked about where this man was laying there on the side of the road. And so a priest walked by, which is a religious person, and a Levite walked by, which is a religious person. But in fact, it was a good Samaritan. Somebody was not looked up to. Somebody that decided to be controversial. Somebody that decided to step outside of their comfort zone and get something to this man and if there's anything else to be done, get back with me outside of the county. We cannot be scared or afraid to get outside of our zone of comfort. And most church doors, that zone of comfort, or the four walls for the worship.
I'm putting that in the chat. We've got to be willing to stretch outside of our individual and collective comfort zones. So one of the ways that we navigate the gospel in controversial places is we've got to be willing to engage those places.
Okay.
Right. You saw churches that were basically part-time servants, Bible study, prayer meeting Sunday morning. You saw a dearth of quality education in an urban environment, which has all of its challenges.
Exactly.
And yet your Christ-centered and Christ-driven vision moved you to stretch outside of your comfort zone, if you will, to make an impact. That's good stuff.
That's what we've got to be willing to do. And there are other types of questionable, controversial places that we can stretch out into. I will tell you that I have led more people to the living Christ in this region through cigar lounges than the average churchgoer does by passing out tracts.
So, Doctor, let me pause. Etia Francois, thanks for joining. Jason Rauch, or Rock, thanks for joining. We appreciate it. So now, cigar lounge conversions.
I'm telling you, man.
Listen, I know. I believe you. So you got to talk about that because that's a controversial place.
That's a controversial place.
So talk about it.
You don't do that. What I'm gonna do, I'll literally sit down, and I sat down and had my Bible. I got religious, okay? I had my Bible on the table, and someone asked me a question, and I happened to have an answer. And from that point forward, we had started in downtown. I remember it was downtown Tempe, Arizona. On 6th and Mill, there was a cigar lounge there. Still a cigar lounge there. It's called Churchill. So if some of my audience that remember that place, you remember, we called it Monday Church.
Wow.
And on Monday night at 6 o'clock, there was a church that allowed me to use their community hall to have a Bible study from 6 to 7. Those guys would be like 12, 13 guys that would be fouling out of the cigar lounge, walking a block down to come to have, hear a word. And then afterwards, they go back to the cigar lounge. So many people accepted Christ through that. But I found a way to make the gospel relevant in a controversial place. Take it to places where the average churchgoer are either afraid to go there or either they're taught not to go there.
So
there's a go ahead.
I was just gonna say, Doctor, what did the Apostle Paul say in one of his letters? Listen to our listening audience, our viewing audience. If you like what you hear, do me a favor, like the video and share it on your timeline, Unchurched Live and No Holds Barred, Spiritual Conversation. Paul said this, one of the most prolific writers in the New Testament said, I become, and excuse the gender exclusivity, I become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might win some. All some.
Wow. I become all things to all people, that to the end, that the end is to win some.
There you go. You see, and Dr. Gardner, you did that. You took something that gives you pleasure and also gives other men pleasure and said, you know what? Maybe I can build a non-threatening Christ-centered environment via this means. Dr. Rodney Pierce, it's like we do like politicians. We like to speak to our base. Dems watch MSNBC only. GOP watch Fox News only. Blacks only talk to other blacks. Rednecks hang out with other rednecks. We make our comfort zone our... Listen, he preaching now. We make our comfort zone our only zone. It's human nature. It's Dr. Pearson, it's true. And we are too monolithic and homogeneous. See, we get comfortable with our own clique, our own, this is old school, our own cipher. And Dr. Gard, you said this weeks ago, Acts 2, New Testament, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God descended upon that third component of Godhead, descended upon all the masses who were there. And they all, I'm trying not to, you know what I'm trying, Ryan, Doc, I'm trying to keep this unchurched life. the Spirit of God descended upon a diverse group of people to bring them together, not to separate them. Okay.
Yeah, level the playing field. Okay. Amen. You know.
Yes.
I promise not to preach or to tweet. That's when you're preaching through a tweet. It's called tweet.
Tweets. I like that.
Tweets. you know.
Meg, hold up. Mark Rag Farmer, appreciate you joining, sir.
All right. So what makes these places too controversial for disciple making? I heard about a church somewhere in the Great Northwest. It's called a bar church.
Bar church.
A church set up in a bar. And, you know, all people would say, well, that's unholy.
Mm.
That's unholy to be.
That's an abomination.
That's an abomination. So, you know. And so all the people who understand that is people who are within that religious group.
Yes,
they
sir.
Understand it. And so, but if it's like this, if souls are being won to Christ,
yes,
people can see the difference in your life.
Yes,
that you live for Him, and that in turn turns around. That they are becoming more interested because you have chosen not to be judgmental, huh?
Mm.
And to judge them where they're at, but rather to be a soft place for the people of the world to fall. And that's the thing. I think that's what the church has not been, a soft place for people to fall. Remember back in the old days when I grew up, you know, if you had a problem, you would run to the church.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because you knew that the church was a place where, you know, someone could pray for you or, you know, someone could help you. You know, you saw it as a place of refuge. Today, they're running away from the church because why? In a lot of cases, we talked about this on one of our previous shows, they got hurt by the church until they left. And so we've got to make the church a soft place for people who are seekers and skeptics can come and feel comfortable and not be judged because of their lifestyle and so on and so forth. I think that's the first step toward making the gospel relevant in controversial places. The other point is what Dr. Pearson had alluded to earlier, which kind of tapped into my notes, but that's okay. He doesn't speak here. You know, comments to your, you know, talk to your brother. And that's this point. Has the church forgotten the meaning to go into all the world? And all means all. And that would include places of controversy. I'm going to say it again. All means all. And that would include places of controversy.
Yes.
And, you know, that's something we can talk about if you want to.
Go ahead, Doc.
Another thing that I find surprising as to what is keeping us from that's keeping our lights under a bushel basket. Some of y'all know I'm quoting a parable. It's keeping our light here so that others cannot connect with us. Is that it appears that many churchgoers only invite the seeker and the skeptic to attend a church service, but never go where the seeker and skeptic are to simply have a conversation, not condemnation.
Say that again.
Again, I said it appears that many churchgoers only invite the seeker and the skeptic to attend the church service, but never go with the seeker to simply have a conversation, not condemnation.
That's it. It's just dialogue, and I think, Doctor, goes back to religious arrogance, thinking that we are right and everybody else is wrong. And let me just say, religious arrogance is not just the purview of the church. I mean, there are Muslims who are religiously arrogant, Taoists, Buddhists, Hindus, others. I just think religious arrogance in any of its forms is deadly. You see, and people are not going to listen to our spiritual conversation until they know, like, and trust us. You see what I mean? And so if I'm just meeting you, I don't trust you. I don't know you. It's only as I come to know you, like you, and trust you that then I will open up to you. And then you can, at the proper time, watch, when I give you the cue, that you can then present your faith to me. And that's key. When I give you the clue. And I think, Doctor, we look to impose, I heard this said years ago, we look to impose our faith instead of expose our faith.
Oh, wow. Impose instead of expose.
Expose. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. Put it on me rather than show it to me. Right? Mm-hmm. You want to put it on me, whether or not I want it put on me, rather than show it to me. Display it, present it, and if I'm interested, I'll take a look.
So, is it true that people don't care about how much you know, but they want to know how much you care?
I agree 10,000%. And I think, Doctor, you've said this a lot, and over the course of several shows, it's that when people truly experience, I believe, the love of Christ as lived through us, whether or not they become Christ followers, it rises to an unforgettable experience. And that's the issue. We want to talk. It's like sales. I'm in sales. Doctor, the best sales people are the best listeners and the best problem solvers. They're not the best talkers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. In the 80s, and I learned this yesterday, the 80-20 rule. You listen 80% of the time and talk 20% of the time. What if we adopted that as Christ followers? Listen before you talk and seek to identify and solve a problem. Everybody has a problem in some way, shape, or form. What if we listen for that problem? Doctor, you saw the problem of lack of education. And not only did you birth a school or build a school, you birth people into the king. And let me de-religiousize my language. People became Christ followers as a result of your work, right? Because you took the time to study the market, the community, to determine what the need was or the needs were. What if we adopted that mindset with our quote-unquote non-Christian associates and friends instead of just blah, 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 blah. No.
That's true, man. I mean, it's like...
Frank Morales. Go ahead, Doc.
You know, there's a lot that can't be said, but it also appears that many churches, the extent of outreach is making an appeal to the lost to come to the altar after the sermon.
Yes.
Here the pulpit is doing all the evangelizing, if you want to put it that way.
I like that.
So the question is, are we being equipped to take the gospel to any place other than within the four walls of worship?
I think some of us are not. And Doctor, just a time check. We have about 10 minutes left. And as I said, you're listening to Unchurched Live. It is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. My co-host, Dr. Gardner. Your co-host, Michael Teague, a.k.a. Finesse. We appreciate our viewing and our listening audience. If you in any way are being informed, inspired, entertained, or all of the above by what you are listening to or watching, do me a favor, like the video and share it on your timeline. So with many times, I don't know if we are being equipped.
Yeah, and that's because we got to be equipped to share the gospel in any place.
Any place.
If all the world means all the world, that means, okay, there's a lot of world out there that I can choose to be a part of, and it's more than just going and visit the homeless and passing out tracts. I know some people that are homeless, man. You go down and talk to them, they can quote more scripture to you because that seems to be the easy route. Well, I just go down there and we'll just go visit the homeless. And what about there's some other place? Is that the only world that's out there is people that are homeless? You know, so there's got to be other locales out there that need the presence of the Christ you're following felt through your works and not just your words.
Works, not words. There is, listening audience, viewing audience, there is a consistent theme, unplanned. Dr. Gardner and I do plan the shows. There's certain things that come out during the course of the show which we did not plan. I believe that if we are going to reach this generation for Christ, we need to show them our works more than our words. A picture is worth a thousand words.
Yes.
See, when they see works, efforts, actions that they can trace back to a Christian commitment, then they'll ask, what is it about you?
Okay, what is this?
What is this? Wait, there's something, there is something different about you.
There's a comment just popped up.
Yes, most believers are only equipped, most believers are only being equipped to serve within their local house of worship. Therefore, they are limited to something. They are limited to serving in a pluralistic environment. Yes, we've got to be cross-trained. There's a term in corporate, cross-trained. So the administrative assistant is also trained to do accounting, or vice versa. You see, the salesperson is also trained in operations and vice versa. We've got to be cross-trained as Christians to be able to speak the language of the club, right? And also the language of the market, because the marketplace is where people live who need to be part of the club.
Yeah.
This Unchurched Live by design is for the marketplace. Now, there are Christ followers / Christians, churchgoers who watch, and we're grateful for you. The audience is the seeker and the skeptic. Frank Morales, by this, the whole world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. Amen. Yes. See, love, agape. Doctor, go ahead.
I disagree. Go ahead.
Agape is the Greek word. Agapeo is the Greek word for love. As a verb, agape has two components: unconditional acceptance and total commitment to the other's highest good. And I think if the marketplace, if you will, that pluralistic aggregation of people saw that love manifest, they'd beg to know the Christ that we serve.
Okay. So.
Yes, sir. Let me just go back on Facebook, see if anybody's joined.
What was that?
Frank Morales, love is the fulfillment of the law. Dr. Rodney Pearson, showing our works through unconditional love is the only way to impact this real world marketplace, et cetera. Yes. Doctor, give us some kind of final thoughts. I know there's some more that we have on our production notes as we kind of wrap up. Give us some thoughts, please.
Well, you know, if I was to place a challenge to any Christ follower, that would be to look at the way in which Jesus engaged people.
I like that.
And
yes.
And especially how he treated people who were non-religious.
I'm gonna study that. I'm gonna restudy that. I like that. Say that again. How Jesus
treated people, but especially how he treated those who were non-religious.
I like that.
And that's a challenge to any Christ follower.
Challenge.
And I would say that because the majority of my lives that Jesus touched. Also, he did not meet them in traditional or religious places either. The majority of the people's lives that he touched were not met in traditional and religious places. So we need to look at that. And we need to know how, see how you engage that. And my last thought is, you said something earlier about listening. You know, we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak. You know, in counseling, we call it active listening.
Yes.
You got to be an active listener to what people are saying instead of trying to want them to hurry up and finish so that you can get your two cents in.
Well
said.
But
you really need to hear what the person is really saying so we can address what they are feeling. That's what's going to be important.
I like it. So as I type this last thought into the chat, this has been a very, very powerful topic for me. Navigating the gospel in controversial places. Dr. Gardner, I appreciate you being passionate about this topic. Listening audience, for those who listened, we appreciate you through Blog Talk Radio. Those who have watched through Be Live, we appreciate you. We broadcast every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. Unchurched Live is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. Last comment, God is other-centered. When we sin, we became selfish. God is trying to make us other-centered. I agree. I am your co-host, Finesse, a.k.a. Michael Teague, my co-host, Dr. Gardner. We appreciate you. If this broadcast has meant anything to you, please like and share, as we want to engage as many people as possible in this conversation. So we'll be back next week. You know how I do. One love, everybody.
Peace.
Peace. Have a good night.